Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. And as you just heard Eileen tell us, it's going to be another 100-plus degree day in San Antonio, and there's no rain in sight. The aquifer continues to drop about a foot a day. The Edwards Aquifer Authority last week declared Stage 3 pumping restrictions. Uvalde to the west of us is in Stage 5. San Marcos, New Braunfels in Stage 3. Other communities in Texas are actually running out of water, but San Antonio, we're not going to Stage 3 because of forward-thinking, planning, and spending of millions of dollars. We're in Stage 2. And to help us understand San Antonio's water position going into the future, we got Greg Flores. He is a spokesperson for the San Antonio Water System. Greg, welcome to The Source.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate it.
And also, our phone lines are open. If you got a question about what's happening with the drought and San Antonio's position on water and where things are going, what you want to see happening in San Antonio in regards to water or the community anywhere in South Texas, the number to call is 614-8980, 614-8980. So, Greg, people want to know about this water bank and how we have a water stored and why we're able to avoid going into stage three water restrictions.
Well, it's been quite a wonderful resource that the San Antonio ratepayers chose to invest in several years ago, and it's now paying dividends, that investment. So we're very fortunate to have had a number of wet years where we were able to take water that was not being used by our customers and store it away in this storage facility, where now we're able to pull it out and use it during dry times.
So where is this water bank? I mean, it's underwater. It's underground. What is that? Did they dig a hole or what is a swimming pool somewhere? What is this?
Yeah, it's a lot of folks have that same question. It's actually in southern Bexar County, and what we do is we will pump water from the Edwards Aquifer when it is plentiful, when it's raining a lot, and when customers are not using it because it's raining a lot. We will pump the water from the Edwards and pipe it to southern Bexar County and inject that water into a tightly packed sand aquifer called the Carrizo Aquifer. And the water sits there in the Carrizo Aquifer until it's ready to be withdrawn during dry times like we've been doing this year.
What keeps, like, the next-door neighbor farmer from putting a straw in that sandstone to get that water himself?
Well, Saws owns 3,200 acres of land down there in southern Bexar County where this facility is. And the bubble, so to speak, of Edwards water that sits in the Carrizo Aquifer is maintained with wells around that bubble to ensure that it doesn't drift away and get into a position where it could be pumped by a neighbor. So we've got that bubble contained, and it's there for our use in dry times.
Now, and then there are other water sources that Saws has beyond the water bank that allows you to avoid going into stage three.
Yeah, we also have over time developed additional resources. We're drawing water from Canyon Lake per our agreement with the Guadalupe Blanco River Authority. We've got water coming in from the Trinity Aquifer, from the local Carrizo Aquifer, and from Lake Dunlap. So in total, there's about 36 million gallons a day of water that is coming from sources other than the Edwards Aquifer. And that is good news because that's 36 million gallons a day that we're not pumping from the Edwards.
Because you're required to reduce pumping from the Edwards. What is it, a third?
35% at this point today.
So you're having to draw on these other resources. That's a lot of water because San Antonio, I mean, we're a huge city. We need water.
Yeah, that's right. You mentioned at the top of your segment there that the Edwards Aquifer Authority has declared Stage 3. Which means that we're not allowed to pull more than 65% of our allotment from the Edwards Aquifer. So that 35% cutback has to come from somewhere else, and that's where we've been fortunate to have planned over long term, and our ratepayers have invested in these other water resources to allow us to continue to meet that regulatory restriction set by the Edwards Aquifer Authority and not have to impose Stage 3.
But every municipality across the state of Texas is looking at shrinking water supplies and dealing with that. And many of them speak highly of San Antonio, not just for the planning and investment in infrastructure and water banks, but also in the conservation that we have here as a culture in San Antonio. But I know we could be doing more on that. I mean, so they really are envious of what where San Antonio is. But are we just being you know, sort of not being smart by not going to, say, a stage 2.5, you know, somewhere in between stage 2 and 3 to take care of the water that we do have? Because we don't know how long this drought's going to go.
Well, I think there are certainly much more than can be that can be done in terms of water conservation, for example, as you mentioned. We still see a lot of outdoor watering taking place in the middle of the day or during times when it's not allowed. And outdoor watering is one of those areas where we can really make some substantial gains in our water conservation efforts. We have issued this year about 3,000 citations for illegal water use. So we continue our enforcement to make sure that folks are complying. Overall, I think we've got a lot of compliance from this community. We've done a great job of reducing our demand. But that is an area, putting water on our lawns in the heat of the summer, at the peak summer times, that where we could do better. And we have chosen to launch an initiative where we're actually going to try to convince our customers to let us help them pay for a change in their landscape so that they have a landscape that doesn't require as much water, but that can still look great in the summer. So we're trying to target that outdoor water use in San Antonio and do an even better job of showing the entire state that we can remain at the top of our game in terms of water conservation.
So is that the plan where you have rebates if you go to the nursery and you buy water-saving native plants, that then you get like coupons off your water bill? Is that it?
Exactly. Those are rebates that we offer. You go out and you buy the drought-tolerant packages of plants and mulch and other things for your landscaping, and you can receive $100 to $200 credit on your water bill to help offset the cost. And of course, that is also savings that keeps on giving every month because you're using less water as a result of the change to your landscape, and therefore your water bill is going to be lower every month as well.
So you don't have to turn your front yard into a gravel pit.
No, it's not gravel and cactus like most people think. There's actually very, very attractive landscaping material, very attractive plants that are very colorful, that can withstand the heat, withstand the dry weather, and allow you to maintain a very attractive front lawn.
And how much water would that save? You know, like, would it be a big water saver if there was a big movement in San Antonio away from the green meadow lawn, St. Augustine grass, to something like that?
It potentially could save quite a significant amount of water. It, you know, over the course of the year, we sell anywhere from 20 to 30% of the water that we sell goes on lawns and landscapes. So that's a significant chunk of water savings if we can curtail that outdoor water use to the point where it's not required as much.
And that's water that doesn't go to farmers or water that doesn't reach the San Antonio Bay on the coast, or it's just water that goes on the lawn and most of it gets evaporated and is lost from the system. We're going to continue our conversation about SAWS and the drought and what they're doing to try and keep providing water for San Antonio. But we want you to join the conversation because this is a community issue. We want to hear from you. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. I'm in the studio, Greg Colettis. He's a spokesperson for the San Antonio Water System. Of course, San Antonio right now is in a drought like the 99% of Texas. I want to know that 1% of Texas that's not in a drought. And, you know, we've got a water situation here of stage 2 right now, but most of the Texas is at stage 3 or higher. What do you think? Give us a call, 614-8980, 614-8980. What do you think San Antonio needs to be doing about our water situation? We have a caller lined up. Grant, welcome to The Source. You're on the air, Grant.
Hello.
Hey there.
Well, I'm calling from Gonzales, Texas, and my thought is that we get the 10 o'clock San Antonio news, and each night they, you know, give a forecast of what the Edward Aquifer did that day. And to paint a clear picture, they really need to include the pumping from the Carrizo Aquifer and other aquifers that they pump from to get an accurate view of what the drawdown from the Texas aquifers actually is. You get a false sense of security knowing that, you know, after a rain, the Edwards came up a foot or whatever, but they are pumping from other aquifers, so they also gave a percentage of other water sources that would give the public a clearer picture.
All right, Grant. So over in Gonzales, I know there is some tension between, you know, thinking that San Antonio was aggressively trying to take water from surrounding rural areas.
Well, as far as my knowledge, they have maxed out the allowable water usage that our underground water district will allow. I don't know how many years out that contract is for, but I know that they have maxed out their contract. And yes, it's of concern. You know, you hate to send water, and then somewhere down the line, you wish you wouldn't have.
Okay. Grant, thank you so much for your call. Appreciate that. So, Greg, you know, it just shows you that, you know, the water that we have is precious, and and when we take it from other communities or we have these agreements and we buy water and we use water, people want to know that this water is being treated well and not just being frittered away.
Yeah, I think Grant has a great idea. Make the general public aware on our local newscasts of the status of the Edwards Aquifer, and it would be good to know how other aquifers are faring during this drought. One thing I will point out is that the Edwards, unlike the Carrizo, is one that recharges very quickly. The Carrizo is not a recharging aquifer the way the Edwards is. So the Edwards Aquifer levels do fluctuate much more quickly than the Carrizo Aquifer levels. We have a project coming online at the end of this year that will begin bringing a new water supply, the largest non-Edwards water supply to San Antonio in SAW's history, from Gonzales County. And so that water supply will be added to our portfolio next year here in San Antonio. We did that project in partnership with Schertz and Seguin, two of our local neighbors. They will be receiving water as well, and we're joining them in paying for a pipeline to bring that water here. And the groundwater district in Gonzales County has the authority, if conditions get bad, to actually regulate how much water can come out of that Carrizo Aquifer over to San Antonio. So I think there are a lot of safeguards in place. There's a lot of regional cooperation and partnership going on in terms of these water supplies, which needs to be happening. And I agree with Grant, we've got to have more awareness around the state about our water supply situation to ensure that people know what's happening with water supplies.
All right, thanks for that call, Grant. We got a bunch of calls. We're going to try and get through them quickly. Let's go to James. James, welcome to The Source.
Thank you, sir. I'm a veteran, and I'm very big into community service, and I've been thinking long and hard about this for a very long time, and I'm currently in the process of trying to build a power plant down in Corpus that takes seawater, and the process actually makes fresh water. But in conjunction with that, I would like to make a number of desalinization plants to eventually take Texas off of this whole water stage system to pump enough water across Texas. But I've been concerned about, we had talks about a desalinization plant a while back with SAWS in San Antonio, but I haven't heard anything else upon that. what is going on with that? What is SAW's future goals to maybe possibly take us off this stage?
Okay.
And those are my questions, really.
All right, James. Thank you very much. We'll let Greg Flutters answer that.
James, first of all, thank you for your service as a veteran. And to address your question, we are pursuing our own desalination plant. We have received the rates required to build that plant from our city council, and that plant will be online in 2016, in a very short time. The big difference between what we're doing and what you've described is that we're not going to the ocean to desalinate water. There is an ocean of salty water right under our feet. It's known as brackish water. We'll be tapping that brackish water from the Wilcox Aquifer right here in Bexar County and desalinating that water right here in Bexar County. And what that does is it helps us with the cost of desalination because we won't have to pump that water all the way uphill 120 miles from the coast, which takes a lot of energy to pump that water uphill. And the brackish water under our feet is not as salty as ocean water. So it's not as energy intensive as ocean desalination to desalinate the water that we're looking at right here in Bexar County. So it is more expensive water to desalinate it, but this water will be drought proof. It won't be restricted during a drought. It comes from 2,000 feet underground where no one else is tapping this source. And I think there is a big future for brackish as well as ocean desalination in the state of Texas to help us solve our water shortage issues.
But desal, like you said, does take energy, and energy is not a infinite commodity. And there's also an effluent, you know, waste product. What happens to that?
Well, the brine byproduct that's developed is reinjected back into the earth, into an even saltier aquifer. So we are injecting the concentrate that is the byproduct of the desalination process back into the ground, into a more salty aquifer. And you're right, it is desalination is energy intensive. And one thing I think that I hope people will realize is that when we save water, we're also saving energy. Because if you can imagine how much a bucket of water weighs, water is a heavy commodity. And it takes a lot of energy to pump water out of the ground, to move that water around the city because it is heavy. And so the less water we use, the less energy required to service our customers. So saving water is saving energy. And at the same time, if you turn off your lights at home, that saves more water than turning off your faucet at home. So saving energy saves water as well. So there's quite a very direct link between energy and water savings.
Right. If you waste something, just expect you're going to lose it one day if you don't take care of it, including energy, water, or whatever else you got. So let's go back to the phones. Bob is on the line. Bob, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
I've been listening about desalinization, but in the population of the Bexar County in the 1900 census was 69,000 people and change. Now, 113 years later, it's over 1.8 million, and who knows what it's going to be in the next 100 years. It seems to me that San Antonio is in a unique position because we own the municipal utility and we own the water system, that if we ever got serious about nuclear power, we could build, you know, buy more into the nuclear plant, use the excess power for desalinization, and control the destiny of San Antonio without having to get involved in all these intergovernmental rivalries, and because that's only going to get tougher over the next 100 or 200 years. And basically, SAW's conservation has kept up with population growth, but you can only conserve so far.
So Bob, it sounds like you're saying that we're not thinking big enough when it comes to coming up with a mega engineering project.
Well, I mean, where are we going to be in 100 years, 200 years?
We've got people who are paid to think about those types of things.
20 or 30 years, but we need to be thinking about 100 or 200 years, and it's only going to get tougher as the population grows.
Okay, well, let me get Greg to react to that. We've got a ton of calls here. So, Greg, real quickly, I mean, are y'all guys thinking that far out?
Well, not quite 100 years, but we do have a 50-year plan. We do plan out for the needs of our community for the next 50 years. And we're projecting that San Antonio and our service area is going to grow by 20,000 new people every year. So we've got to be prepared to meet the demands of those people. You're absolutely right. conservation only takes us so far. At some point, population growth is going to outpace what we can conserve and the water that we'll need. So that's why we are looking at additional resources. We've got this Carrizo Aquifer Project coming online next year. We've got the desalination plant coming on in 2 years after that in 2016. And we continue to pursue new supplies on a 50-year horizon. So not quite 100 or 200 years, but that 50 years is a rolling amount. So we'll, as time goes, we'll continue to project out 50 years.
Couldn't get to the rest of the callers. Sorry about that. But let me ask you real quickly. So I hear about issues with making sure that we have water running all the way to the coast, you know, making sure that the San Antonio Bay is healthy. I know that we put a lot of San Antonio wastewater into the San Antonio River and send that downstream to try and keep that flowing well. But there's a lot of demands on water. The federal government's getting involved in these issues. We've got the state government's getting involved. We've got an amendment coming up on the election coming up in November, that $2 billion. So there's a lot happening in water in Texas.
Yes, there is. There's a lot happening from environmental requirements, population growth, business and economic development.
So this is not the last time I'm going to have you in here, Greg.
We're happy to come back anytime right. you need
us. This is The Source on KSTX. Thanks for listening.
The Source is a production of Texas Public Radio. Paul Flav produces the show. Oversight is provided by TPR Program Director Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor, and production assistance comes from Catherine Dixon. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.
This week on Texas Matters. This time, it doesn't matter that Governor Perry doesn't like it. Obamacare is coming to Texas. But the Affordable Care Act certainly won't be getting any help from the state of Texas to promote the rollout and educate the public about how the healthcare expansion will work. We'll hear how the federal government is working hard in Texas to get their word out and why that's so important for Obamacare to succeed. That's on Texas Matters, Sunday night at 9:30 on KSTX.